Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Coming up, we've got some news and breaking news and so forth on these election problems. And we're going to start out with an overview. Tom Pappas being interviewed by Alex Jones, and they give a very, very good overview. And then we'll play some Colonel Waldron after that. And he testified before most of the state legislative committees in Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia. But he's an expert in the area, and he has very, very important things to say. So here we'll start off with Alex Jones and Tom Pappas.
I've talked to people who are on the ground. I've talked to some of the people who are very, very high up in the Georgia political infrastructure, and they tell me that Kemp, they cannot understand why he has not yet called a special session of the Georgia legislature. Once that happens, they can overturn this election. They can go county by county, vote by vote, say this is totally fraudulent. We cannot let it stand. They can certify the electors for Trump. Now, Kemp seems to be getting closer. I think he is about to break. When there is damning video evidence like this, Alex, it's very difficult not to break. So I think it's very important that we keep all eyes and all power and all force on Georgia and politically make these people do their job. We elected them, Alex. You were down there. The people who went out to see you elected Brian Kemp, not communist China. The man needs to call a special session of the legislature. We have video of a mother and daughter team committing massive widespread fraud potentially in the most populated county in Georgia.
Well, let's be clear. They illegally kicked out the poll watchers that they kept 50 feet away. Say things are closed because of a water main that's broken, which didn't break, and then they go under the tables and pull out the damn suitcases. I mean, give me a frickin' break. Tom Pappert, there is so much huge breaking news. I'm going to try to give you the floor to walk through this. I want to play a lot of these clips. We should first set the table. Here's just some of the headlines. Georgia governor calls on Georgia SOS to conduct signature audit ballots, which will sink the whole system. They've already done spot checks. They will get the 13,000 votes back very quickly. Trump will win and reverse the state. One state goes, it's the domino effect because they ran the same scam everywhere. Georgia Secretary of State now admits, national file, ballots were counted unlawfully and in secret because they have all the video and the witnesses. Red-handed, Gateway Pundit identifies Georgia's overnight suitcase vote counter as Ruby Freeman and her daughter is the one that brings in the special suitcases, the special boxes, hides them under the table till they kick everyone out, and then they pull them out and start going to town. It's a family affair. Vote counter who provided suitcase ballots and his daughter of vote counter identified as Ruby Freeman. Isn't that just special? Isn't that just sweet? And everybody's wearing the mask because Democrats said so, like the little bandits. And then it just goes on from there. Investigation of 100 ballot samples in Arizona finds 3% of the ballots were deemed fraudulent in favor of Joe Biden, but not for Trump. Oh, it was all Trump thrown out. And if he got even one half of 1% back, he wins the state. See how that works? University document published in September of 2019 describes how the Democrats would steal the election. Might want to read it. Battle. Mo Brooks announces plans to challenge electoral college in Congress. It's on, baby. Colonel Phil Waldron tells Michigan lawmakers truckloads of ballots for Joe Biden were inserted in 2020 election, and they got the proof. And it goes on and on. I knew what was at stake from what I witnessed at the TCF. My heart broke. Michigan GOP elections witness an immigrant shocked by corruption and fraud where the ballots were marked in order. That, yeah, mailed back in order. And, of course, all for Joe Biden. I mean, this is ridiculous. Just like in Georgia, they said they found tens of thousands of ballots that had never been folded and were perfectly printed by a computer on the Scantron, not bubbled in with a pen or a pencil. Perfectly printed in boxes, stacked up. Didn't even fold them to counterfeit them. You know, usually counterfeiters put the money in a washing machine or a dryer and with a bunch of chips or whatever, you know, scratch them up, bend them up. You kind of imagine a 10-year-old kid walks in with $1,000 bills in a car dealership and says, yeah, I got these $1,000 crisp bills. I'm gonna buy that Ferrari right there for $200,000. And they go, Sonny, let me check that money. And even if it's real, they go, where'd you get all this money, son? But, oh, here's all your big boxes, all perfectly crisp, all printed by computer. Open and shut, baby. But the Justice Department says no evidence because they're part of the deep state takeover. Tom Papert, you'll be with us about 15 minutes the next hour, nationalfile.com. You've been kicking ass. I mean, you haven't slept tonight. We appreciate you being here. Give us your overview of what we're looking at and where this is going, and then we'll get into all the evidence next segment. But amazing. And, of course, I only covered the surface here.
Well, that's right. I mean, there's so much going on. No one human being can track it all, Alex. It's totally insane. But what we're seeing right now, I think, is some movement. The conservative media is finally pushing in the same direction, thanks in no small part to your broadcast. We're seeing state legislature after state legislature in this country come together and say, we need a special session. We need to get back here. We need to reclaim our ability to assign electoral college votes. And in many cases, they're going as far to say, we need to assign them to Trump. We're seeing lawsuits, new lawsuits. A new one is being filed today in Nevada that has hundreds of thousands of pieces of evidence, 90,000 illegal votes potentially. And of course, in Georgia, the headlines just keep coming out. It's a family affair. It's a family fraud, like you said, Alex. These people are caught red-handed on video. The likes of the Fox News contingent and the likes of CNN will no longer be able to say zero evidence of fraud after today.
And it just goes on and on. And it's the same systematic blueprint in all these states.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, that is the smoking gun that proves this was a coordinated effort. We are all using the same machines. We're all using the same tactics where we throw the vote counters out at almost the same exact time. In come the suitcases at 1 a.m. and they start counting until everybody goes home. You have in Michigan a very similar dynamic. These women in Georgia are very clear Black Lives Matter supporters. In Michigan, you had a similar dynamic. They're wearing Black Lives Matter shirts themselves. It's the same type of political thug that committed this fraud in each and every battleground state. And Alex, like you were saying at the beginning of the broadcast, I believe in states that are not even considered battleground states. We need to go back and look at Virginia when this is said and done. We need to go back and look, yes, at California when this is said and done. And
Travis County's deep blue. They caught them red-handed on undercover video. It's been on local TV and nowhere else. The exact damn paradigm. What you just said in the other states, Tom?
Exactly. So this is so widespread. And I think we're actually, if we can get through this, if we can keep pushing and secure victory, we are on the cusp of total victory because they've been exposed, Alex. No more can they keep this going. America knows about Dominion voting systems. America knows about the thug-like tactics that they're using on election day.
And China put $400 million into it in October through a Swiss bank account. I mean, and their leader, Klaus Schwab, looks like Dr. Evil. I mean, man, folks, I'm telling you, they're not going to get away with this. I'm serious. We'll be right back with Tom Papert. I'm Alex Jones. Where do you want to start? Which piece of fraud smoking gun first? What, Georgia? That's pretty big with the governor and even the secretary and all of them going, okay, there is fraud. I mean, wow, there is systematic illegal manipulation of votes on damn video. My God.
I think that is the most pressing stay right now, Alex, because I've been told, I've talked to people who are on the ground, I've talked to some of the people who are very, very high up in the Georgia political infrastructure, and they tell me that Kemp, they cannot understand why he has not yet called a special session of the Georgia legislature. Once that happens, they can overturn this election. They can go county by county, vote by vote, say this is totally fraudulent, we cannot let it stand, they can certify the electors for Trump. Now, Kemp seems to be getting closer. I think he is about to break. When there is damage damning video evidence like this, Alex, it's very difficult not to break. So I think it's very important that we keep all eyes and all power and all force on Georgia and politically make these people do their job. We elected them, Alex. You were down there. The people who went out to see you elected Brian Kemp, not communist China. The man needs to call a special session of the legislature. We have video of a mother and daughter team committing massive widespread fraud potentially in the most populated county in Georgia.
Well, let's be clear. They illegally kicked out the poll watchers that they kept 50 feet away, say things are closed because of a water main that's broken, which didn't break, and then they go under the tables and pull out the damn suitcases. I mean, give me a freaking break.
It's beyond belief. And so this starts, you know, you see the four or five people in the video and everybody's wondering, well, who the heck are these people? Well, now we know, thanks to the very good reporting of the Gateway Pundit, it's the mother, a woman named Ruby Freeman, and her daughter. Her daughter, she says in a Facebook video, is her supervisor while she works on the election. She talks about people complaining because her supervisor is giving out instructions that don't make sense and seem to be against the law. She says, well, that's just how it is. That's my supervisor. She makes it very clear that her daughter is calling the shots. Well, Alex, her daughter happens to have long blonde dreadlocks that in a grainy security camera look a lot like braids. Her daughter is the woman who at 8:22 in the morning on election day brought in these suitcases full of ballots. And then once everybody was gone because of the leaky toilet on that night, she is the one who started removing the suitcases from underneath the table and counting them and ordering the other people to count them. This is the biggest bombshell we have. We need to figure out how these people got these jobs.
The FBI needs to haul them all in now, but of course they're not because Bill Barr is compromised.
That's precisely right. So bare minimum, what can we do here with this information? Well, I'm sorry to say it, Fulton County voters. I'm sorry to say it. You're going to be thrown out. This cannot be adjudicated. There is no fixing this. And when that happens, Alex, when the legislature does that or when it's done through the courts, that will fundamentally change the election. President Trump will have won Georgia in a landslide. That's just one of many ways this can be accomplished.
And by the way, I mean, I am ready to because listen. We knew there was fraud. We knew about Dominion. We knew about the scams. We knew about the numbers going up after the polls closed that night. But if you don't have smoking guns, like we now have in Michigan and Georgia and Pennsylvania, similar videos everywhere, then you can't show the public that. And everyone gets, oh, a toilet's leaking. And then first it's a big main broke. Oh, a toilet. And then they close the whole thing down and then start get the ballots and just cramming them in as fast as they can like they're running a race, looking over their shoulders, and the same videos are in Pennsylvania and the same videos are in Michigan, covering it up with brown paper, but then Republicans get the footage and then there's the same damn thing again. This is ridiculous. I mean, imagine if a cop was driving down the street and he saw you and you see him, you run into the woods. The cop's going to come see what's going on because that's suspicious. This is hand in the cookie jar, man. This is ridiculous.
It's the most obscene and absurd instance of fraud we've seen yet. And you're right, Alex. It's happening in every single state. We're getting the affidavits. We're getting the security camera video leaked and put out lawfully. It is absolutely – this is the strategy. This is what they did. Kick the people out. Tell them that we're done. Send them home. And then the hardened crew, the Democrat operatives, they pull out the suitcase votes. And before you know it, we were all there. I mean, I was up until like 4 in the morning after election night. Alex, I'm sure you were too. When everybody went to sleep at around 1, Trump was winning. Then all of a sudden, we know what happened now. We know exactly why Georgia flipped. It's because these women counted the same ballots probably over and over and over again.
By the way, I was watching some of the earlier footage because they released the whole day, as you know. Everybody's slow and all, but as soon as they close the doors, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. It was like a beehive. They're so busy.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's remarkable with the speed they move. They knew they only had a few hours. They knew that eventually the people would figure it out and get back there. And the fact that they're pulling these votes out of black suitcases that, again, the supervisor, the woman in charge, as identified by her own mother, is the one who brought these in.
By the way, there is the mother and daughter team on the cover of the newspaper.
Exactly. She posted this. The mother posted this proudly to Facebook saying, look at my daughter. She's doing epic work as the election supervisor. These people, that's just it, Alex. They bragged about the fraud on Facebook. You cannot make this stuff up. That is so brazen and so disgusting. And meanwhile, if you or I post anything on Facebook, we're going to be banned before it gets posted.
Coming up next is some testimony by Colonel Phil Waldron. And he's a considered to be a cyber security expert. And he tells about this is sort of a preliminary interview conducted by Rudy Giuliani. So here we go next.
Perfectly free to ask him any questions that you want. Colonel Waldron, did you have the opportunity to examine any of the Dominion machines that were used in this election?
Yes, sir. Our team looked at some machines and software up in Michigan.
So you know that Dominion machines were used in Maricopa County to count the vote?
Correct.
And they were also used in Michigan?
Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania.
And the machines that you observed, took a look at, were able to examine, were used in the Michigan vote?
Correct.
Now tell us a little about Dominion. Dominion is a company that makes voting machines and voting calculation machines?
That's correct. They've got full end-to-end election, you know, equipment and software.
And the actual software in the Dominion machine, is that Dominion software or is it someone else's?
Dominion is more of a hybrid. They, over the years, they've acquired other voting companies, Sequoia and Premier. Sequoia was spun off of SGO, and Premier was spun off of Diebold as a result of the antitrust lawsuit.
Sequoia is the company that was involved in the very serious miscalculation of the Chicago vote in 2007, wasn't it?
I believe that's correct, yes, sir.
And they were using Smartmatic software, right?
Correct. And the software, the licensing agreements are pretty well, it's a good spider chart for all of these companies. They all share a common DNA in the software code.
And that company, Smartmatic, their roots are in Venezuela, isn't that right?
Yes, sir. Hugo Chavez was one of the founders. And invested, I think, 28% ownership in the initial setup of the SGO election systems.
And they have been involved in several South American elections that were fixed, altered?
Argentina, Bolivia, Singapore, Venezuela, Italy, several.
And just to simplify things, and we can make this available to you, and we have several witnesses that go back to that period of time who were involved in the vote fixing, who have looked at the vote pattern in Arizona and elsewhere and said that the pattern matches the way in which Dominion and Smartmatic, companies like that, fix votes. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And Well, let me ask you this other question. One of the former officials of the United States government, a gentleman named Chris Krebs, the former DHS official, shortly after the election, he made an announcement that many of these people refusing to take a look at any evidence are relying on. What did he say?
Mr. Krebs was the director of CISA at DHS, and he basically said that this election was the most secure in history.
The most what?
Most secure.
The most secure in history.
And partially that was because the states do an excellent job of validating voter rolls, and that this equipment is not connected to the internet. That was in his.
This equipment, which was largely Dominion and several others, is not connected to the Internet. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, is Dominion on his council?
Dominion was on Mr. Krebs' Election Security Advisory Council.
And is there, and we'll get to it with the witnesses, is there substantial evidence, not only here in Arizona, but in other states like what we presented in Pennsylvania, that Dominion was in fact connected to the internet?
Are you referring to information other than the user's manual?
Well, let's go back to the user's manual. Tell them about the user's manual.
The Dominion Suite User's Manual is about an inch and a half thick. My team went back to the User's Manual and looked at all the instances where in the User's Manual it tells operators to connect the Ethernet cords to the router, and it is the systems are connected to the Internet.
And then what evidence do you have that there actually was connection to the Internet?
Our teams looked at spider graphs of the Dominion network on election day and showed the increased web traffic, Internet traffic on election day for Dominion servers.
So on election day, Dominion was communicating by Internet?
Correct.
Contrary to what Mr. Krebs said or thought?
That is correct.
And tell us now, take us through how the vote can be modified, and then take us through what you saw in the machine in Michigan where they did actually modify the vote.
So my background in the military, started off my career as an air cavalry officer, flying helicopters, counter-reconnaissance, I moved later into information warfare as an information operations officer, running psychological operations, computer network operations, deception, operation security, and electronic warfare, special electronic warfare. And our team has been researching this specific issue since August of this year. We are working with another team that's been intently working on this voting machine manipulation for about 2 years when it became apparent in the Ted Cruz and Beto race in 2018, as well as the Kentucky governor's race with Matt Bevins. We saw significant anomalies in those races, and that's kind of the experience or our background working with this system. And I would tell you as an unconventional warfare information operations, information warfare specialist, the American populace is facing an unconventional warfare scenario, and this is information warfare. The voting systems in the U.S. and Arizona, Dominion, and several of the other machines were built to be manipulated, and as the mayor said, they've been used in elections around the world with questionable results. And we believe that these same questionable results are present in this election. Again, my background as an information warfare officer is how to get in and corrupt these machines to conduct strategic influence operations. How do I get the enemy or a targeted population in a foreign country to think and act a certain way? These machines have multiple points of injection that are vulnerable, everywhere from the server level where passwords, accesses are posted for the dark web for any hacker to get in and access them. And what they can do at the far, far right limit is download CSV files or like an Excel spreadsheet, change the columns, and re-upload them. And That can be done at the server level. At the operator level, if there's software, it can be corrupted. It can be manipulated. With a device that is as small and as simple as a USB device, which these machines are booted up and run off of.
Here's some additional testimony by Colonel Waldron at the Michigan Legislative Committee hearing. And he's quizzed by Rudy Giuliani again. Here we go, Nick.
Please, when you're ready, Mr. Waldron, can you explain why you're here, what your background is, your expertise, and when you're ready, please begin.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to look at some statistical analysis. I worked with a team that's been looking at the voter manipulation, election manipulation since November of 18. I started looking at this issue in August of this year. Doing a deep dive on several key areas with some of the electronic voting machine companies. And we started looking at some of the vulnerabilities that have been mentioned on the floor of the U.S. Congress and Senate that have been widely published in, you know, publicly available documentaries. So we began looking at the problems immediately after the election, doing analysis on anomalies in the data. And then we also did some forensics on a couple of locations up in northern Michigan in Central Lake Township and Antrim, and then talked to folks at Star Township. And all this information is in affidavits as well, sworn affidavits. In a nutshell, we began to look at anomalies in the voting systems. We looked at publicly available information from your state. First thing we noticed was that there are 643 precincts in Michigan with a voter turnout above 80%, which is a little bit anomalous. There were 21 precincts were over 90%. 10 precincts that had exactly 100% voter turnout, and 6 precincts that were over 120% voter turnout. So as we began to look at that, my team focused on anomalous patterns where votes were entered in an amount of time that was physically impossible for the tabulation machines to process the votes. And so we found four spikes in the analysis that exceeded the tabulation machine's ability to process that amount of votes in a timeline. And that was in Kent County, Macomb County, Oakland County, and Wayne County. And again, this data was from Dominion and published, you know, in open source. So those anomalies pointed us to a couple other things that some of your previous witnesses who I just heard tonight, but the incremental absentee vote punches there was a big move from 652 on the morning of the 4th, 16,000 absentee votes were processed. Between 6:52 and 7:49 local time on the 4th, an additional 213,429 absentee votes were processed, and this aligns with some of the observations that the previous witnesses made. And then at 11:15 and a time 11:15 that same morning, in a time period of about 8 minutes, which correlates to the time our previous witness, Ms. Jessie, testified. There was 56,098 votes processed in an eight-minute period. Now, each one of these machines can process about 20,000 votes an hour, so you can do the math yourself, or it's in our affidavit. So the anomalous activity led us to believe that just looking at the data, that there were red flags for fraudulent activities, and we have subsequently asked for our team or someone else to do the forensic analysis to determine exactly what happened with those votes and those spikes that could not have been mathematically processed with the amount of machines that were present in the facilities. Our team also went up to northern Michigan to the Central Lake Township. We do have an affidavit from Miss Judith Koslowski. While we were up there, she had a tabulation or retabulation, and showed a pretty significant amount of change in the votes. We published an affidavit with those key elements that showed differences in the data runs and the tapes, and I believe I've provided that to you as well. And then a declaration by Robert Marsh, the Star Township supervisor, a couple of the excerpts. When he said, upon examining the tape at the close of the polls, I could see that President Trump had clearly won the presidential race in Star Township. He said, I believe the numbers are 462 for President Trump, with Joe Biden receiving 161 votes. Normally, when a candidate has such a large lead, it's safe to assume who the winner would be. Early the next morning, my wife received a phone call from a friend asking what happened to Antrim County going blue, meaning Democrat. At 7:36 that morning, I was texting our stats representative, Tristan Cole, to find out if those were the actual results. At the time, Tristan advised me that the numbers were not right, that Antrim County was reporting 462 votes had been credited to Joe Biden, and President Trump had only received 10 votes. So we saw numerous examples of numbers moving, numbers being flipped and switched. As you realize, the Antrim County is where the 6,000-vote glitch occurred. And if you look at the numerous references in the guidelines for elections in the Help America Vote Act, the Federal Election Commission Voting System Standards, and the Federal Information Security Modernization Act, an error rate is permissible for one out of 125,000 ballots. And if you look at just what happened in Antrim County, the error rate was 8.3. So it puts it about 750 times the allowable limit. And according to the regulations, that should have disqualified. They went later and changed that from a glitch to a clerical error, which, you know, they kind of changed up the reporting on that a little bit. In a nutshell, we found several other things using open source data. There is a gentleman named Eric Lutzen, and he has matched up a list. He started looking at voters above the age of 80 that were registered for voting and did vote on in Michigan, and 17,327 Michigan voters also had a corresponding obituary. And I didn't print that whole thing out, but I can give you that website for the tabular data, and it's about 350 pages or so. So in the essence of time, I'll close it out. We'd be happy to chat if there's any other specific information that I can provide to you about our findings.
Sure. Thank you. So I just want to understand. I mean, I think was there something you were going to add?
No, I was going to ask him to spend a few minutes on Dominion.
Okay.
The company. He knows quite a bit about it, and he's one of the few people that has examined their machine.
Okay. Well, let me ask my question, and then we'll ask you about Dominion too. But I just wanted to understand. So we had the Antrim County Clerk in here, and we had her testify earlier this in the last few weeks. And one thing that I found from her testimony is that she seemed not to be very well trained. Her clerks locally did not seem to be very well trained, and they didn't seem to know how to work their machines. They didn't seem to run the proper tests from the testimony that would have discovered the mistakes. And then when the election happened, and we saw this 6,000 votes that went for Biden, and Congressman Bergman found that and reported it, and then they looked at it, and they said, "What happened here?" And she said, "It was a technical glitch," or whatever she said. Well, that came from her office, and now, a few days later, or whatever it was, she alleged it was human error. And that's what she said later. So, based on that, I mean, what we have to go on in this committee is the testimony we've heard. And based on what she said, that looked like it was human error. If we go off what she said that the tape matched. She said this would have been discovered in a canvas because the tape matched. So I just wanted to hear if you have knowledge of this, if there's anything you can speak to on this, because, that was the conclusion that I had come to after hearing her, that This was limited to Antrim County. And again, like I said, Dominion won't come in, so I don't know more. But I know in Antrim County, it sure seemed like the clerk there didn't know what she was doing, and that caused a lot of this problem and confusion. So can you tell us more about what you learned and address that for me? Thank you.
Yes, our forensics team went up to the Central Lake Township.
And can you clarify, is that in Antrim County?
It is in Antrim County.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
And this was included in the forensics report on Central Lake Township in Antrim, Michigan. The report date was November 29th, 2020. And on the 27th, the ASOG forensics team, which is Allied Security Operations Group forensics team, visited the Central Lake Township in Michigan. The clerk presented to two separate paper totals tape from the tabulator with the identification number ID2, tabulator ID2. One was dated, poll opened November 3rd, 06, 38, 48, which was roll one. And the second dated, poll opened November 6, 2020, 09, 21, 58, which was roll two. She was asked, Ms. Kozlowski.
I ask you, what does that mean? So was one, what were the two dates?
The actual poll date, November 3rd, and then the second on November 6th.
And there were two tapes.
Two tapes. They ran the ballots and printed roll two. She was asked by the county clerk's office to come in and do a retabulation on the 6th.
Okay, so there was a one run through and a ticket printed, and we went through that with the clerk. There's a ticket that shows the result.
Correct.
On November 3rd on Election Day.
Then a retabulation.
On November 6th.
Correct.
And you're saying that was ordered by the county clerk?
By the county clerk's office. She said she was notified by Connie Wing of the county clerk's office and asked to bring the tabulator and ballots to the county clerk's office for retabulation.
Okay. So what did you find when you looked at that?
They ran roll one had a total of 1,494 total votes. Roll two had 1,491 votes. They had three less ballots because three ballots were damaged in the retabulation process. So Ms. Kozlowski said that she and her assistant manually refilled out the three ballots, curing them, and ran them through a ballot counting system. But the final numbers did not reflect the inclusion of those three ballots. So the shifts in the votes from tape one or roll one to roll two, on election night, President Trump received 566 votes. Vice President Biden received 340 votes. On the recount, Trump had one less vote at 565, while Biden was unchanged at 340. The other areas on the down ballot where we saw a lot of different number shift was a proposed ordinance to authorize marijuana and then a retail establishment within the village of Central Lake. So those were the ballot proposal to authorize marijuana went from not passing to passing by shifting votes and removing the when the recount, the three ballots were not counted, the proposal passed with one vote. And then for school board, even though this was a ranked voting, the top two apparently were going to be elected. There was a significant number of votes. There were 742 votes added to this total. Between the election, there were 1,068 votes, and then on the recount, there were 1,810 votes that showed 112 write-in candidates. The school board member shifts were significant. As well as there was a change in the state proposal 20-1. There was a change in those numbers. So the way that works, the township clerk was given two compact flashcards as a security key. One of the compact flashcards is known as the ISD card, so it goes into the administrator slot, and then the CF card goes into the poll worker slot. And then there's a security key that's used on the security key. So Ms. Kozlowski was given the cards that were in proper retention and reran the tapes. The difference in the the administrator card, which is the software load. The poll numbers were pretty much the same, but votes in between those two runs shifted. So there's a discrepancy in the forensics.
How did you find that?
The discrepancies?
Huh?
In the actual tapes, in the tabulation
tapes. That one machine?
One machine, yes.
It made that many mistakes?
It made a lot of mistakes.
Did it do anything right?
It kept pretty close to the other votes, but it did not meet with the standards of the Federal Election Commission. We have not examined forensically in this election more than this machine. It's pretty much been blocked.
So
this definitely is far outside the limits of the 1 in 250,000 vote error rate.
So
based on that, would you want to examine more machines?
Yes, sir.
Just to understand, so what the clerk has said is that, and I heard you say there were two tapes, and then you kind of went through how there were some differences on the two tapes. What the clerk has said is that there was a problem basically with the way the count was displayed on the website, but that when they looked at the tape, that the count was accurate, and that would have been caught in the canvas. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree?
So the votes were canvassed on election night, according to Ms. Kozlowski, and approved. And for some reason that she did not know, she was asked to come back in to redo. She said this is the declaration of Ms. Judith L. Kozlowski, and it's signed and dated, and this declaration is under penalty of perjury. She said, on November 5th, I was contacted by, on election night, we closed the polls after the absentee ballots have entered into the tabulator. We take our ISD cards to the machine and take them, the security fob, and the results of the electronic poll book to the county clerk's office that night. She said, I received my ISD cards when I went to the county building and received my precinct kits from Connie Wing prior to the election and never received nor was made aware of an update as I did not need any updates. On Thursday, November 5th, I was contacted by Connie Wing of the county clerk's office and asked that I bring my tabulated locked ballot container and tabulator to the clerk's office for retabulation. Because of time constraints, a retabulation did not occur and I was asked to return on Friday, November 6th. I was given the ISD cards and security fob. We set it up, and the retabulation began at 9. We finished at 8:55. The retabulation was done in the presence of the Antrim County Board of Canvassers and the Antrim County Sheriff, along with the Deputy Clerk, Patricia Marshall. At the completion of the retabulation, all the voted ballots from November 3rd, I asked that the Board of Canvassers was ready for me to close the poll and run the tally tape, which I did. It was at this time that I noticed the number of votes cast on November 6th had changed from the tape on November 3rd. So I stated to the board that the numbers had changed. The board did not respond to my comment. To this date, I still do not know why Central Lake Township was the only township that had to retabulate. Other township clerks asked me why I had to do this, and I could not explain. And that is bullet item number 5 on her declaration. So that's what I know.
Okay, thank you. Well, next we'll go to Representative Steve Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in your analysis, you talked about how the number of votes coming in were at a rate higher than they could actually be processed through the machines.
Correct.
And this is after the polls have closed?
Yes, sir. This is...
So forgive my ignorance here, but the way I understood it is that the numbers don't get counted one by one. A precinct will count all their ballots, and then they submit all their numbers. So the fact that there's a lot of numbers coming in within a short period of time isn't because a bunch of ballots all of a sudden got counted. It's because machines from all over the state that had been counting for hours all day long finally decided to upload their information. Am I missing something here? That's how I always understood how these things work is, you know, I live in the city of Wayland. I go, I vote. Mm-hmm. They, you know, I think, 7 to 8 o'clock, they shut down. They do everything, and then they upload it. They didn't all of a sudden run through 1,000 votes. No, those 1,000 votes were counted over hours and hours.
So the timeline of the reporting which is got timestamps on the data files, the data logs, where it's uploaded. Those show four spikes that totaled 384,000 votes in a combined interval of 2 hours and 38 minutes. So those.
Why is that not possible? Because they're not running 300,000 ballots through that quickly. That's just
correct.
Machines,
yeah,
from around the entire state. So if you have the city of Detroit with 250,000, obviously Detroit came in later, but hypothetically, there's big cities in Michigan, big precincts, and they start filing at the same time. It seems to me like that's actually quite logical that you would have a lot coming in a short amount of time. As someone who's a political candidate, as I watch the numbers come in, usually there's nothing, and then all of a sudden you get a bunch of spikes. Oh, we got City of Kentwood. Oh, we got Gaines Township. You start seeing things come in. I don't think that's proof of fraud or anything. I think that's just how it works. Am I missing something here?
So if you look at the total number of machines, and the machines can count about 2,000 ballots per hour per machine, the calculation sum would yield about, 100,000 ballots as a maximum number of ballots that could be processed.
But they're not processing that ballot in that time frame. They've been processing those ballots all day long. They are just uploading the total number at that time.
Well, they're actually uploaded at various intervals along that timeline throughout the day.
Say that again?
They're uploading those results at various, across that timeline throughout the day.
I don't think that's accurate. I don't think they upload results until after everything is done. I mean, that's actually a pretty big deal with Republican, at least. We actually have been very clear of, you don't start reporting the ballots until everything is done, everything is closed out. So I don't think that's actually accurate. If that is accurate, that's something we need to look into, that they're continuously uploading the numbers throughout the day. But that's not my understanding.
Yeah, so if you look at the Edison data provided to the New York Times, it shows pretty much a continual upload throughout the day. And then there are spikes that occur at specific times that are bump loads, but I can provide this to you.
The question is, did you give us that? As I know you gave us a packet. That's not in it.
It should be in the affidavit that
okay.
I provided
we don't have
to you, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman.
Did he answer your question? Okay. Next, we'll go to Representative Camilleri.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Representative LaFave.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Johnson. If you and I agree on the thing you were just talking about, that could be a real problem if something is different. But, Colonel, I've got, tell me if I'm wrong, 10 precincts in the state you believe voted at 100% approximately?
That was according to data from the state, yes, sir.
6 precincts at above 100%?
Correct.
Add those up for me. About how many votes is that?
We just looked at voter turnout, so I didn't add up the votes from those precincts.
Think you could send me an email? Let me know the total number of votes there.
Well, why don't you – we'll have him send it to the committee. We'll work with that. We can send it to the clerk. Continue, Rep. LaFave. Did he answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right, and I wanted to. We had talked about Dominion. Was there something? Was there something that you wanted to discuss about Dominion? I understand that perhaps you've examined these machines. I know, for us, we can't get Dominion to come in and testify. And one thing that I would like to do is examine the machines to understand, because my belief is that if we could look at the machines, if we could examine their software, we'd have a good idea then of whether all this stuff is true or not. But the problem that I have is that because Dominion won't come in, they won't testify. They won't provide us machines. They won't do these things. It's hard for me to wrap around this Dominion theory, because basically we're going off of what people are saying, and we're hearing nothing from Dominion. So, as we're investigating, I think that would be very valuable to us. But from what I understand, you've looked at this. So what can you tell us about the Dominion voting system?
We began looking at these companies. As I mentioned, the team that we joined that had begun studying this back in 2018 after the Kentucky governor's race, and then several races in Texas with the ES&S machines, we really started looking at the lineage of these companies and the code to the software. And they really seem all go back to Smartmatic, or SGO Smartmatic. They do have licensure agreements between Smartmatic and Dominion, between Smartmatic and ES&S, which is another major voting machine. And really the core of these voting systems are rife with vulnerabilities. I was an information warfare officer, so I looked at ways to penetrate, defeat, and corrupt other systems, whether it was through electronic warfare, through other means. And these systems are highly highly vulnerable to penetrations at multiple levels throughout the system. The easiest way and the most discreet way is USB drives. In classified systems in the military, I worked with both secret and top secret and other special access programs. All those machines had the USB drives deactivated. You could not use them just because of the critical vulnerability. These machines all work off of USB drives. And so there's really, we've found in dealing with Pennsylvania and in Arizona, there is no control. There is no chain of custody in the USB drives. Workers can stick a USB drive in. We could stick a USB drive into any of our laptops. You don't know what's on there, and you can change software. You can change operating systems with the USB drives. And the core of these systems is manipulability. This is the operator's manual and the implementation statement for 5.1. One of the myths that has been propagated even by the director of CISA at Homeland Security, which is the cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency, is that, well, these machines are not connected to the Internet. In the operator's manual, there's a whole page of references that show you how and when to connect and what selectors to connect to servers and to routers, so it is connected to the Internet. That's how you get election night reporting. That's through another company called Clarity Elections. They provide early reporting to the news media. Matter of fact, as I was looking at one of the counties where I saw the spike, I believe it's Oakland County. I was going to the Oakland County, the 2020 elections results, and I clicked on the elections results, and a warning flag pops up to the right side, and it says you're leaving this domain. You're going to clarityelections.mi. So the information for the counties in your state isn't really maintained or owned by your county and state, but rather a corporation that's owned by SOE Software and CYTL, S-C-Y-T-L, which is a Madrid, Spain corporation. It went bankrupt in May of 2020 and was purchased by another UK registered company. So we've recently found, and we're digging further, that there was a $400 million financial transaction to Dominion Voting Systems in October, 1 month before our election. We're digging into that. But we know through some of the leaked information from the Panama banking system that SGO, Smartmatic, and Dominion both share a physical address in a small building in Barbados as registered headquarters. So these companies share licensing agreements. They share a common core of their DNA is the code, is the software. And I'll be happy to provide you an electronic copy of this operator's manual. And when you read through here and you can see all the options that administrators and operators of these systems have, like some of the previous witnesses mentioned, they can assign, they can vote blank ballots. They can delete data. They can mass adjudicate write-in ballots. And so it is designed to be inaccurate. It's designed to, if an individual or a team of individuals had a malign purpose, this would be the tool that I would want to use.
Can I ask you,
Colonel, tell them the history of Smartmatic. When did it start? Where did it start?
Smartmatic.
And what was it developed to do?
Smartmatic was designed, developed in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez was the president, and basically he invested, I believe, 28% of the money to fund Smartmatic and to control the Venezuelan elections. I personally debriefed the son of a Cuban intelligence officer who was at dinner with two of Hugo Chavez's relatives when Maduro's election was in question due to the populist uprising in Venezuela. And they told him, the son of the Cuban intelligence officer, don't worry, it's guaranteed. Our father invested the money to start SGO. So,
and have they been involved in numerous elections that have been questioned as to the integrity of the election?
Numerous elections in Central America, the South Pacific, and Europe.
And are they allied with Dominion?
Well, at least in Barbados, with a shared.
Does Dominion
office.
Use their software?
The Dominion software, so that where the merger of the DNA comes is there's the licensing agreement, and as a result of a lawsuit, Sequoia Voting Systems was sold off of SGO and purchased
Who owned Sequoia?
SGO Smartmatic owned Sequoia. They sold Sequoia Voting Systems to Dominion Voting Systems, and they also purchased Premier as a result of an antitrust. So all of the DNA and the code and the software in these machines are very, very similar. As a matter of fact, there's testimony on the House floor as late as July of 2019 that, you know, decries that we're actually still using this equipment that is full of holes. My team is doing analysis all over the country right now. We're we can't meet the demand because there's so much. But there was about a 40-page document with the vulnerabilities that was pulled down off of Stacey Abrams' website about these systems across the party, across the aisle. There have been Democratic senators, Senator Klobuchar, Senator Warren, as well as Republicans. So this is an American issue. This is a national security issue. Our voting systems are defined as national critical infrastructure, just as critical as nuclear power plants, just as critical as petrochemical steel and ports.
What's fractional voting?
Can I ask? I'm going to ask a question here. So I just wanted to understand why. So, you know, when we hear these things, they say in the press, they say this has been debunked, right? Every time I read about this, they say this has been debunked.
It's fake news.
Please, we don't want to have to remove anybody. And I'm serious. I mean, we're not supposed to yell out here. But let me ask you, I mean, when you hear that, why do you think they're saying that? I mean, because you know, we do hearings like this. I mean, for many people, this is the only time they hear testimony like yours. But why are they saying that it's debunked? Do you have a theory on that?
I have a theory in life. It's about people and personal behavior. It's either a variable of competence or a variable of commitment. In this case, they would be either incompetent. They haven't done the research like I and my team have done. They haven't looked to the user's manual of these systems. They haven't rationally thought that, okay, these election votes are updated in real time. How does that happen? You know, nobody's getting in from a car to from in Lansing, Michigan, and driving it to New York to be uploaded at the Rockefeller Center. So these are connected. And actually, in the operating diagrams of the systems, the high-level block diagram, this is Democracy Suite, it shows Democracy Suite, EMS application and document management server, the Democracy Suite database server, the data center. This is data. This is electronic data.